Good morning, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Penny for Your Thoughts today on this Monday. And as it is Monday morning quarterbacking here on News Talk 1400 DWS as we continue that. We have not been here for a couple of weeks because of the holidays. We had Christmas and then New Year's. So here it is, January the 8th, and we're doing Penny for Your Thoughts Monday morning quarterbacking. And, of course, that means Lauren Tate is here.
A lot of stuff really piled up on us, hasn't it? Football, yeah. Basketball, you name it. Wrestling. How about that wrestling match here yesterday?
Yeah, two wrestling matches decided by, a point?
18-17. That's a good margin.
So we'll talk about some of that. Of course, basketball, Illinois basketball to talk about. Two road trips, two 10-point losses, one at Minnesota and one at Michigan, in which the first half they started slow against Minnesota. In the Michigan game, it was the second half they started slow.
Yeah, I'll say, boy, those first five possessions by Michigan made you wonder where we were defensively. All dunks and layups.
So we'll get into that. If you have some comments, again, you can call us at 356-9397. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357 is how you can join us. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. The NFL playoffs are underway. Most of the games were pretty good. Tennessee, Kansas City, down to the wire. A little controversy. You had
Mike Hale didn't think that was a very good game. he was there.
He didn't like that.
And you see where the official has retired after that game. He had a really tough game.
I saw that.
That's too bad.
So you had a close call there. What was it, 22-21, I think, was the final there. You've got New England now awaiting the winners, the guys that had the bye weeks.
Yep.
Minnesota had a bye. You had the Eagles had a bye. The Patriots had a bye. Pittsburgh had a bye. So all these teams were playing this weekend to advance to play those teams.
And Khan got a win down at Jacksonville.
That's right.
It wasn't pretty, but when you hold the other team without a touchdown, you usually win, right?
That's right. Beat the Buffalo Bills. That game, I kept watching, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, well, it was just as well it didn't as it developed, because I was pulling for Jacksonville. I mean, I guess I pull for every team that hasn't won for a while and hope that they can kind of break the spell, and they did.
I think Jacksonville hadn't won a playoff game in a long time, and I think Buffalo hadn't even been in one since 1999. So it was two teams that, you know, you're happy to root for a little bit.
O.J. Simpson wasn't on that team, was he?
I don't know if it was that late, but yeah, it's been a while since he played. So if you have some comments or questions, your thoughts on this Illinois basketball team now. They will play Iowa Thursday night at 7 at State Farm Center, and the Hawkeyes are now 0-5. In the Big Ten.
It's a battle for the cellar, you might say, huh? Mm-hmm.
Are they pretty young, I guess? Iowa's pretty young.
Well, I don't know. They had basically four starters coming back this year. I don't know what happened. Bohannon hasn't played well. They've got some length, but they just, you know, the problem, I have two problems with Iowa. One of them kind of relates to Illinois. One is they don't play defense the way they should. And we talked to Jess Settles, who was a former Iowa player on Saturday, and Jess related that. And I think it's been obvious to everybody. They just give up too many points. The other thing is he substitutes pretty wildly, and it doesn't have a – you know, it's not exactly a set lineup. Plus the fact McCaffrey's son has been injured, and he's having some problems that way. So they're just not getting great guard play, I think he might be starting to get in a little bit of trouble. Mm. Do you think?
Well, I mean, they've been a little up and down.
Oh,
Iowa.
Yeah.
Not just this year, but I mean during his
tenure. In previous years, they've gotten off to pretty good starts and then just kind of faded at the end. Not this. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case this year. They're starting off slow, but we've seen. I've had hope for Iowa a couple of times there in recent years, and they just faded at the end. They give up too many points.
Mm-hmm. How many years has he been there now?
Ooh, boy, you got me. I'd have to look it up.
Is it seven or eight, maybe?
Yeah,
at
in
least,
that neighborhood.
In that neighborhood. John Beilein, of course, in his 11th year at Michigan, made some adjustments at halftime, and, boy, Michigan came out rolling in that second half. Illinois helped out with the turnovers, the two turnovers right out of the gate in the second half with Mark Smith.
Smith's turnovers were really bad turnovers. I don't know what he was thinking. He just threw it right to him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Out of bounds, one each side.
I don't get it. But anyway, I think that something happened defensively there where we turned Wagner loose, and he was getting unguarded layups. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. Well, I do know what happened the second time around. Later in the half, we switched and wound up with Lucas guarding him, and he can't guard him. He just pitched it in there, and he shot a layup.
Good news from the ball game was Skipper Nichols had 17 points and did some good things there. He also struggled a little bit on the defensive end at times. That's Coach Underwood talks with him about that all the time. And then Ebogbadin is starting to come on a little bit.
He's a good rebounder, and he's good around the basket. I wonder if we're going to see more of him now. That's two pretty good games in a row for him.
Right. And I think that's part of the chemistry or rotation issues that Underwood is looking at or dealing with.
Well, he's so entirely different from Finke. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a different player altogether. He's a rebounder and a shot blocker, and Finke is a step-out four, basically forced to play the five.
So that's a couple of the changes. He had Trent Frazier in the lineup at the beginning. I don't know what you thought of that.
Well, I think that Frazier probably deserves to start, but there were times in the game where I thought Lucas was asserting himself pretty well. I mean, he just doesn't score. He does some other things pretty well, but he doesn't. If you have – there's a certain lineup when you have Allstork and Williams in the lineup along with Lucas. You've got some really dead spots offensively. I mean, I like everything about Williams and the way he plays, but it is a fact that you need to score. Everybody needs to score, right?
Right.
And maybe that'll pick up later on, but he's not much of a scorer right now.
Yeah, because there was when the season began, there was kind of a clear delineation, Underwood and you know, during games. He'd have his starting five, and then he would rotate the second unit through. Now it's a little bit of a mix. He's playing Ebogbadin more. He's got Frazier and Lucas have kind of flip-flopped their minutes.
He's searching.
Mm-hmm.
No question. Underwood is searching. He's trying to find some answers. I mean, it's pretty tough right now. Illinois has lost all four games this year. I looked it up because it seemed like forever since football, basketball, and women's basketball have won a game in the Big Ten. The women have lost 15 straight over 2 years. The football team has lost 12 in a row. Is that right? Can that be right? 12 in a row? I don't know.
It's adding up.
Yeah, and the men have lost only just 5 in a row because they beat Michigan State. Now, we need to talk about Michigan State. They played the best game I ever saw against Maryland, didn't they?
They did.
And the worst game I've seen against Ohio State. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Oh, that end of the first half yesterday.
Oh.
Dockage throwing in a half or three-quarter, whatever it was, three-quarter of half court, way out near midcourt.
Right.
At the end of the game.
Banked it in. But then didn't you think that Michigan State would make some kind of a rally in the second half? I mean, they're only down 12, 14 points. I mean, they could come back from that. But it went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State just kept pouring it on.
They did. So Ohio State and Purdue at the top of the Big Ten. We're at 9-12. By the way, we need to mention here, we got some breaking news a little bit ago. Dana Howard.
Yeah.
In the College Football Hall of Fame.
17th member of the Illini in the College.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, he was a good one, wasn't he?
You know, Dana Howard deserved it more so than most. He was a really good college player. His game, like some basketball players I've seen lately, didn't translate to the NFL. But in college, he was outstanding. He just made a lot of tackles. He made big plays. Illinois was beating Ohio State in those days. It was a different world, and he was a leader of the Illinois team.
All right, we'll get into some details on that. 356-9397. Is how you can reach us on the phone. You can text us 351-5357, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. You can email us talk at WDWS. And from Benny, he says, good morning. I hope my Georgia Bulldogs beat Alabama. Well, I say that too. Go Dogs. But, we'll talk some more about that during the course of the show today. Just join us here. We're on a Monday morning quarterback show. I'm Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate, and we're back with more after this on DWS. We are back. Monday morning quarterbacks here. Brian Barnhart in with Lauren Tate, 356-9397. You can join us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Right now, 34 degrees, so we're above freezing. That's good to know with all the precipitation we've had. Talked about the Illini basketball games this past week. Give me your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on the Illini basketball team. The Illini women fought for about three quarters and had a chance against, I think it's 18th-ranked Iowa, but fell a little short yesterday over at State Farm Center. So they're looking for a first Big Ten win. They play Nebraska coming up Wednesday night at 7. The Illini men will play Iowa at 7 coming up on Thursday night.
By the way, Nebraska was the team that they last beat.
Is that right?
Yes. Not this year, obviously.
Right, going back to last year.
Yeah.
Well, they'll have a chance because I was in the same boat.
Yeah.
Looking for that first win. And the schedule in the second half, at least on paper,
Of
the season gets a lot better.
Absolutely. You got more home games. That's the key. I mean, it's a shame when you have to start with five of your first seven games on the road. That's not exactly fair.
Still like to have that Maryland game back.
Well, yeah, Northwestern and Maryland. I mean, Maryland game you have won. I mean, you just get the ball inbounds. I think you got the game won, but a lot can happen in the last 10 seconds of a game.
All right, 356-9397 is how you can join us here on the phones. We've got a couple of callers here ready to go in just a moment. Again, Dana Howard, in case you missed it, one of the all-time great Illinois linebackers, inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He will be coming up. Howard, who left Champaign as the Big Ten's all-time leading tackler, one of the best collegiate defenders of the 1990s, recorded at least 147 tackles in each of his 4 years from 91 to 94, 595 career tackles, 30 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, 4 picks, and 7 fumble recoveries from East St. Louis, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, 93 and 94, four-time All-Big Ten honoree, first-team recognition in his last 3 years after making the second team as a freshman, and the 1994 team captain, two-time team MVP, led the Illini in tackles all 4 seasons of his career. So, pretty remarkable.
Well, I think Dana deserves every honor he can get because he played 4 solid years, and it's something we don't see anymore when you have a standout football player. They usually play 3. I believe Dana redshirted, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was here 5 years. So you can correct me on that. That's my memory of it.
Well, the induction for the class of 2018 will take place December 4th of 2018. That'll be in New York, Hilton Midtown. And they say here in the release, of the over 5 million individuals to play college football since its beginning in 1869, only 0.02% and 217 coaches have been enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame. David Williams was inducted in 2005. Of course, Red Grange inducted in 1951, Butkus inducted in 1983, and Howard won the Butkus Award in 94 as the nation's top linebacker, Illinois' first major national award.
Let me throw out some other names to you in that Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Alex Agassi, he was a great one, a lineman, coached at Purdue and Northwestern. Al Broski, with all those interceptions, he still holds the NCAA record for interceptions. Can you believe that? Jim Grabowski, J.C. Caroline, not bad for running backs. There's a fullback and a running back for you. And Bob Zupke, they've got some coaches. By the way, Buddy Young also made it. He was another running back. But Bob Zupke was inducted back in 1951. So Illinois has been well represented historically.
Mm-hmm. And Dana Howard, the latest to join that group. All right, we're talking some information there that just came in the last half hour with Dana Howard. Congratulations to him. Talking some Illinois basketball today. College football championship comes up tonight. Go Dogs. I'm hoping Georgia can beat Alabama.
Go Dogs.
I guess it's probably better for college football, isn't it, if Georgia wins?
You might be seeing, I don't want to say a change in leadership in the SEC, but Georgia has the number one recruiting class, and they've got a lot of talent, and I think that what you may have is more of a 1-2 punch in an SEC that right now is somewhat out of balance. But I do expect the LSUs and the Tennessees and the Floridas to come back. I mean, I don't think this is going to be forever. Auburn, and, you know, I think that the SEC will become will be the best conference in football. But right now, it's just some of those teams are down.
We're at 922 and 34 degrees here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Give us your phone calls, emails, and texts. We're on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show, and let's go to the phones. I think Bob is there. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'm not a real big follower of basketball, but I do follow what's going on. And I am curious, how many close games that have we lost if every single free throw was made? on the average over all the games, you know, if we were to hit every single free throw, that they might have won. Then we lose some games like by 2 points or 3 points?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Was there three throws missed?
Sure.
Okay, about how many free throws are missed, like 10?
Well, it just depends. It's different game by game. I don't have them in front of me here, but everybody misses free throws. I mean, it's not unusual for a team. I mean, nobody makes 100%.
No, but there's times, I think, that we lose the game by 2 points. If we made those 10 free throws, we would have won.
That's true.
It's common sense, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
But they're trying to make them. I mean, nobody can make.
Maybe they need to spend more line at more practice standing at line shoot them.
Well, they spend a lot of time practicing, but I'm going to tell you, there's no way you can recreate, Brian, the pressure when you go up to shoot a free throw under pressure. It's different.
It's
simply not the same. It's not the same for a freshman. It's the same distance, 15 feet. It's the same height, 10 feet. But you never see a freshman shoot free throws as well as in college as he did as a senior in high school. It takes them a while to adjust. It's nerves.
They say because they're so used to shooting on the move, and they factor that in, that, you know, that's a good possibility. But if they're hitting real good on the outside and everything, well, maybe we need more practices at the line. Yeah. I don't know.
They get plenty of practice, and they try to practice under pressure. And he puts pressure on players, and they make the other guys run when they miss and all. Oh, they do all kinds of stuff in practice. They shoot plenty of them.
Yep.
It's not practice.
Okay. Somebody calling that follows basketball real close. Through the statistics, I'm just curious how many free throws have been missed out through all the games.
All right. Yeah, we can look that up.
I would like to know that would be – interesting how many were missed up until now.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Let's go next to Alan. Hey, Alan, how are you today?
Morning, guys. By the way, Lauren, Dana Howard did redshirt his freshman year, because I can remember we went to a bowl game years ago when he was a freshman. He was allowed to practice, but he couldn't play in it. We played Clemson that year, and we got smoked. So.
Yeah, I remember him practicing as a defensive lineman. I remember the debate within the coaching staff. He was a big, strong guy without great speed, okay?
Right.
And they elected to give him a shot at linebacker in his redshirt freshman year, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yep, sure was. As far as the basketball team, we've got three players that kind of been disappointing this year. Michael Finke is one of them. He's not shooting free throws that good. He's not shooting three-pointers that good. He had probably his best game as a lineman against the Missouri game, but other than that, he's been really inconsistent, and it hurts us a lot. And Mark Smith has been a bit of a disappointment, and so has Mark Allstork. And I'm not a real big Lucas fan because he can't shoot, but what are you going to do? I mean, we don't have too many other options. You remember back in the fall, you said LeBron Black would be our best player, and he is our best player. And I said, I hope he's not. Well, what I was hoping was somebody would come out of the woodwork and really, really be good to take the heat off of Black, because Black's not the type of player to lead a team by himself.
And part of that early in the year, Allen, was Aaron Jordan. Came out of the woodwork.
He did.
Yeah, you're right.
And he hasn't shot it as well here lately. Off. Yeah.
Yeah, he's had
just he gets shot off, and when he does, now he's slipping too. But
well, he's only recently started missing them for a while. He couldn't get a shot.
Right.
Now he's only had 8 3-pointers made in the last 8 games. So that's just one a game. That doesn't do you much good.
No, you got to have more than that.
And I'm guessing if you've had your shot taken away, and then suddenly you get in and you might get one, you start thinking about it like, okay, I better get it off before they get here.
The interesting thing to me is a couple of his shots the other day when he was relatively open weren't close. Mm-hmm. They were way off. And previously, he either made it or he almost made every one. And he was shooting great there for a while, over 60%.
Yeah, 67 at one point.
Leading the nation.
Yeah. Now I think he's second. Go ahead, Alan.
No, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say he was leading the nation. Now I think he's second in the Big Ten. So it's tailed off a little bit. And the other thing is you expected Allstork to be score a little more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he scored, what did he average, 18 a game at Wright State last year.
By the way, I saw Wright State play against Oakland, and guess who was the star player on the court?
Kendrick Nunn.
You bet.
Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah, he's really good.
Boy, is he good. I mean, he is really – at that league – in that league, he is really good.
He would have made a difference for us last year.
Yep. You bet.
All right, Alan. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yep.
356-9397 is how you can join us on the phones. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. By the way, a caller points out the women beat Nebraska last year in the Big Ten tournament.
Right, and they also beat Nebraska in the previous Big Ten game.
Mm-hmm.
So they've beaten Nebraska twice. But I wasn't counting the game in the tournament because I didn't count the game. I didn't count tournament. I was just talking Big Ten games, conference games. And they have lost 15 in a row.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And who do we have here today? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Dana Howard.
Oh,
hey Dana, how are you doing?
How are you?
Wow, I'm good.
You snuck in there on us. Brian Barnhart here.
How you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain.
Yeah. Well, Lauren Tate's with me here. We just wanted to congratulate you today on the big announcement.
What's up, Lauren? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, Dana, congratulations. That's a wonderful honor. You're the 17th Illini to be in the College Hall of Fame. Some great names there, Butkus, Grains, and the Bunch.
Hey, those are all my heroes.
Well, tell us about your career at Illinois, Dana. And you did redshirt, I believe, your freshman year. Talk about that year and then how you took over at linebacker.
Well, it was just one of those where, you know, I came in, I guess, highly touted, if you will, and didn't want a redshirt, wanted to play, but I'm glad that they made me redshirt. It was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I got bigger, stronger, and faster, and got acclimated more to campus and school, and just, you know, from there, just helped me to prepare my career to be able to get ready to take on a grueling Big Ten season.
And when did you feel like you were comfortable playing linebacker? How many games did it take you?
Well, I mean, I felt like I was comfortable day one I stepped on campus, but you know, obviously the coaches knew a little bit more than I did, but from first day of practice, I felt like I was ready to dominate, and that was my mentality. So, you know, I felt like from first game, I was ready to rock and roll.
You wound up winning the Butkus Award. What did that mean to you?
That was really cool. Winning something that's after a guy who I patterned my game after, who also went to linebacker U, who started linebacker U. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for more than winning something that that's meant after, you know, someone who's not only college football but pro football, like the best linebacker ever.
Well, Dana, you a lot of recognition over the fact that when Coach with Coach Tepper, you announced a sure victory over Ohio State. Is that a fair statement, or you predicted a victory over Ohio State, which I think all players would normally do anyway? But this became a headline, and then you came through with it. Talk about that game.
Well, it wasn't really that. I guaranteed it was just, you know, I was the captain of the team. A reporter asked me, do we think we were going to win? I'm not, you know, obviously as a captain or just think Pierre is not going to tell you no.
Right.
We're going to win. So I told him, yeah, we're going to win. Yeah, we're going to go to Ohio State and win. So then one guy throws out, you're predicting. I said, well, you call it what you want. I mean, I know my guys. I know we're ready. We're going to win. So then it became my prediction. Then it became, I can't, you know, me getting in trouble, me having to do extra laps because I'm predicting. I'm like, man, I'm the captain. What do you want me to tell these guys that we're not going to win? I mean, come on. What am I supposed to do?
And then you made the big interception in the game and a whole bunch of tackles. You remember how many tackles you got in that game?
I don't, but I do remember the interception because I was running so hard I was out of breath. So I know that.
That kind of clinched the game, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they were on like the 10, and he threw like a little curl route to Eddie George or something like that, and I just stepped in front of it, picked it off, ran about 30 hard yards, and was out of gas.
Dana Howard is with us, just inducted, or will be in December in New York to the College Football Hall of Fame. Joins some Illini legends, Red Grange, David Williams, Dick Butkus, among several others on that list. Talk about some of the guys you played with. It's always a team game, but, I mean, we had some great ones, yourself, Kevin Hardy, Simeon Rice. I mean, that was a great group in through there, right?
Yeah, and also John Hosey, who's my partner in crime. So, you know, we were the number one linebacker corps in the nation 2 years in a row. And, you know, of course, you know, not only those guys, but the guys who will probably never get mentioned, like Chad Colfer, Jeff Hassenstein, Ricky Johnson. You know, John Streeter, you know, guys like that who played D-line, who kept all the other guys off me. So without guys like that, you know, there would be no me, Kevin Hardy, Simeon Rice, and John Hosack. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, isn't it, Dana, how offenses have changed over the years. We've got open spread, I mean, fast, 90 plays a game, 100 plays a game, and still yet you win with defense, right?
Exactly. You'll see that tonight. Whoever wins is going to win because their defense is more sound than other teams. So it'll show tonight.
So who are you picking tonight?
You know, I can't stand either one. But, I think they really did us in with Ohio State. I mean, they really should have been in. I thought they would have done well. Yeah. But I'd rather, if lesser of the two evils, I'd take Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the game is being played right down there in Georgia, and everybody's so close. It's going to be packed in terms of attendance. I wonder how it will be received nationally on the West Coast, in the Midwest. How do you? Is this going to be a lower TV audience than usual, do you think?
Oh, no, I think it's going to be huge. I mean, definitely in the South. I mean, obviously, everybody's going to be glued to it. Televisions, but it's the national championship game, so I think everybody's going to watch anyway. So it won't matter. It's the national championship game. You, me, everybody else wants to know what the outcome is going to be. So I'll be glued in front of the TV. I'm sure you guys will also.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, before we let you go, just your thoughts. I know Lovie Smith's going to be in year three, kind of in the process of rebuilding the program. I know he wants to establish running the football, play good defense, special teams. Just talk about kind of that development. And it's been a young team he's had to work with.
Yeah, I mean, the couple was better. I mean, he had to come behind some guys who just were getting bodies in. You know, they weren't necessarily warm bodies. They were just bodies. And so he's come in and really, to be honest with you, this is actually, for me, it's really what he's just going on year two, to be honest. It's year three, really. But in my mind, it's really year two because his first year, he was, you know, behind the eight ball, got here late, had to get what he could. And now he's getting his guys, as you can see, these guys are young guys. And he let it be known. They don't play these young guys, and they might struggle, but come year two, which is now, you know, they're going to do better. Then year three, you know, I'm looking for a bowl game.
Yeah. That learning curve is pretty steep for those young guys, isn't it?
Yeah, really. They could throw them out there. You know how it is. When a kid can't swim, you push him in the tent, he'll figure it out.
Well, they've got to find some linebackers, I'll tell you that. They've lost Watson, you know, who's been the starter the last couple of years. They lost Julian Jones, and they're going to have to find some, and I think they're kind of starting over there, Dana, at linebacker, don't you think, this year?
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully, it's cover two, the D-line is the key. So if those guys can get some pressure, you know, that's everything. If we got a decent D-line, some guys that can get up the field, you know, get us some faces, disrupt the quarterback, you know, that helps us.
Yeah. Hey, Dana, before we let you go, do you get back much to Champaign?
I try. This year I didn't get to get there as much because my daughter's now in high school and she's playing softball, running track, and playing tennis. So, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, shuttling her around all year round. So, but I will be this year for sure. I'll make a game or two.
Well, good. Well, Dana, we just wanted to congratulate you. So we thank you for giving us a call and reaching out. And just congratulations, well-deserved on that honor.
I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. That is Dana Howard. How about that?
He was a good one.
He really was. So he's going to go into the College Football Hall of Fame. We are at 9:37. He called us right at the bottom of the hour, right about the time we normally do news. So the news department said, hey, let's just skip the news. We'll come back at 10 o'clock and do some local news after that. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts Monday morning quarterbacking. Let's get Jim in here. He's been waiting through our visit with Dana Howard. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. The comment I wanted to make had to do with the Big Ten Network's coverage of the Illinois-Minnesota basketball game. And before the start of the game, their cameras panned the stands, and there was Rick Pitino, and their comment to the effect of, you know, all-time Hall of Famer and whatnot. And it just irks me no end that the Big Ten would promote this sexual predator. It shouldn't be shown on TV at all. I'm very upset with the network. I'm surprised they did that, given today's climate.
Well, he's the father of the other coach, and he's sitting there in the front second row or so, so I guess that's why they did it.
Well, you don't have to praise him as a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's what he is. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer.
I wish they could jerk that back, but that's me.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, thanks. Right, thanks. Great show, as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jim. All right, phone lines are open. We'll come back with more. Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking. Great to hear from Dana Howard this morning. We'll continue with more with your phone calls, Illini basketball. We can talk recruiting. Lauren's always up to date on that. We can get into the NFL playoffs, what you thought of some of the games. Officiating became a story over the course of the weekend. Shad Khan did something really nice, by the way, over the weekend.
Yeah, he really did.
We'll tell you about that here coming up in just a little bit on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking. And you can join us here, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts, as we are every day. But, of course, on Mondays, we do the Monday morning quarterbacking here, and Lauren Tate is here. Good to hear from Dana Howard.
Yeah.
Directly.
Well, he's a guy, I've said that he is as loyal an Illini as there is out there. Mm-hmm. He's been very close with the staff. He's very, very close with the people here, you know, with Whitman and that. And he's doing what he can down in St. Louis where they're, you know, they really missed out on a terrific recruiting year down there when they had probably the best talent we've ever seen out in St. Louis. And there's another year coming up where they're going to have another great crop of athletes in the St. Louis area, and Illinois has got to crack that group.
We're talking Illinois basketball. We're talking NFL football. The Jacksonville Jaguars with a win, 10-3 over the Buffalo Bills. New Orleans Saints reached the NFC divisional playoffs against Minnesota. They stopped Carolina Panthers. Carolina was on the Saints' 26-yard line with less than a minute to go, but there was a sack. Drew Brees, 376 yards and two touchdowns. He's still going
strategy.
Strong.
Talk strategy with me.
Yes.
Do you run fourth down in that situation? I liked it, but it's dangerous, right?
Yeah, right.
And the Saints didn't make it.
Right.
So you made yourself vulnerable. They could have punted, and they'd have had 40 more yards than they did have.
Mm-hmm.
They got the ball near midfield, and they're lucky that the ball was declared an interception because that cost another 15 yards. But there will be a lot of, there would have been enormous complaints out of New Orleans had that failed, and I don't think you can't complain after that. You got to say at that moment, did you want to run and clinch the game, run the play and absolutely clinch the game, or punt it to them and give them a chance to score?
Right.
What do you say?
Oh, I know.
You like it?
I like it. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. There's so many times. What was the Super Bowl a couple of years ago that ended with the
pass.
Seattle?
Yeah,
I guess it was Seattle.
Absolutely.
Just run the ball.
Carroll will be, you know, they'll be after him forever on that play. But, you know, my thought is, and this is my way of thinking at all times, in football, when play calling, you always want to do what the other guy doesn't want you to do.
Right.
What he doesn't expect. And I thought, in that case, if you're on the other side of it, What do you want them to do? You want them to punt you the ball so you can catch it and score the winning touchdown. But they didn't do that, and it backfired, but yet they didn't score.
What they always say in sports is never do the thing that makes your opponent happy.
Yeah, but what happens in when you're protecting leads late in games, you see teams run three times in the line and punt.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the other team wants. It is.
I know.
You know that, and so I don't think in most cases down the stretch when you're in the final minutes of games, most times coaches do what the other team wants them to do, which is I find that, you know, I think what you have to do, though, Brian, is you have to establish that as part of your character, as part of your culture. This is what we're going to do, guys. Before the season starts, we're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. We're going to go for it. I've heard Notre Dame Kelly coach talk about it, and that he's going to go in those situations. And so you're prepared for it. This is your policy, and you stick with it.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Right.
It's like Northwestern going for it.
And you've got to be ready for the fans to jump all over you when it fails.
It's like Northwestern going for a lot of fourth downs.
Absolutely.
They did that all year long.
All year long. I saw the fans at Northwestern boo their first overtime game. You remember they won this two in a row?
They won three in a row.
Three in a row in overtime. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And the first game, he had the ball. Fitzgerald had the ball with, I'm going to say, 25 seconds or something like that. And he just kneeled and took it. And the fans said, "Well, wait, no, we don't want to do this. You know, why don't we try to score?" He didn't want to take the chance of a mistake there. And he felt that they would do better in overtime. They had the ball in overtime five times, Brian. Five possessions, scored five touchdowns in those three games that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And then in the bowl game, he went for it on his own, whatever it was, 35-yard line.
Good for him.
It almost cost him the game, but he did get away with it.
But they didn't make the two-point conversion. That was Kentucky, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yep.
Yep.
Kentucky. I'm proud of the Kentucky guy. I mean, he didn't make it, but he said, "We're going to win the game right here. We're not going to go overtime with these guys. These guys are too good in overtime, right?"
especially with the overtime rules, you have that option. Now,
sure.
Tom Osborne went for it, and there was with a tie, he could have won the title against Miami, and he went for two and lost. But, you know, that was a different era.
Yeah.
All right, 356-9397, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. We're at 946 and 34 degrees. We're hovering above the freezing mark. If you have any comments, questions, thoughts on Illini basketball, we'll try to add up our free throw misses here. Somebody asked about that. I've got all the box scores back there.
Okay.
I'll go look during the top of the hour.
But you also got to look at what the other team did for
you. That's right.
I mean, both teams miss them, okay? Both teams are trying. Both coaches are doing everything in their power. But you know the thing you really have to do late in a ball game, get the ball to the right player.
Right.
Don't have the big 7-foot-1 guy that can't shoot free throws taking the ball inbounds and being fouled.
That's right.
But
sometimes
your guys sometimes you can't get the ball into the person you want. Brian, have you noticed that?
That's right. Yeah, that's come up a couple of times along the way. All right, let's see here. What about recruiting? Anything new?
Oh, yeah.
Basketball recruiting?
Oh, yeah. I had a great trip down to Highland Saturday and watched three games down there. And the first game's got Belleville West, which has got E.J. Liddell, and you've got to see him. He is, Brian, in that game, good competitive game, he had 9 blocks. Mm. He's scoring 25 and 30 every time I see him. I saw him two times last year. He had 77 points in those two regional games down there. 77,
Ooh.
34, and 43 in the two games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That comes out to 77. And I've seen him twice this year, and both times he's just been spectacular.
Mm.
He is really good.
Mm. So, for people that aren't familiar, how big is he?
6'7".
6'7".
6'7", and he's a forward, and he is the perfect replacement for Black, except that he's got a much better jump shot. In that he's got a bounce and a fadeaway jumper that you just can't stop. He's really strong around the basket. I know right now everybody's saying it's Illinois or Missouri, but the big boys are going to get in on this one. He is really good.
Mm-hmm.
9 blocks in one game. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Not recently.
No, not in high school.
Not since Lynch.
Yeah, Lynch had, 7 the other night.
Right. And then the second game, I wanted to see Morgan Park play because of Ayo Dosunmu, mm-hmm. but he tried to play, but he just couldn't go. He's got a sprained ankle, and he's He didn't get a point in that game. He played one quarter and came out and just couldn't go. But the other kid, the sophomore, Miller, the kid that transferred from Peoria, sensational. He's going to be the top player in that class in the state without a doubt. And he had, I don't know how many points. I should have written it down, but in the neighborhood of 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the other guy, they're playing Chaminade. And Chaminade scored 107 points against Morgan Park. Morgan Park's one of the best teams in the state of Illinois, if not the best. And Chaminade scored 107 on them, which ought to tell you how good Chaminade is out of St. Louis.
And we're not talking the Silver Swords out in Hawaii.
This is a high school team, yeah. St. Louis. And then Vachon beat Champaign Central in the third game. I saw Finke Friday night against Centennial, mm-hmm. and he had three early three-point shots, and then he just kind of faded from the scene offensively. He's still playing pretty well, and he's doing a really good job bringing the ball up. The weakness in the Central team is just terrible ball handling by the guards, and Jeff Finke figured that out by just having Tim go back there and take the ball, bring it up, and he's a really sound ball handler. He's going to be going to Grand Canyon, as you know, and I think that he's going to be a good player, but I think he's been a little sick right now. And by the way, that's another thing about Black. What did you learn about
him?
Yeah,
he has not felt well for quite, I don't know, maybe it's a week. I mean, he's, anytime we've been on the plane or bus, you can hear him coughing and kind of wheezing, and he just hasn't felt well.
Yeah, some members of my family have been, my daughter Lori told me she's been sick for a week, you know, and it's with the flu and aches and pains and headaches and all kinds of stuff, and it's going around, and so I'm trying to dodge everybody. If I hear anybody cough, I run away from them as fast as I can.
Well, I do too, because I don't want to be anywhere near that. All right, got a text here on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. It says, did you see where TV Ted Valentine could be retiring after 30 years?
Yeah, he's upset over that
the Duke game.
Yeah, he walked away from. Was it at, who did he walk away from? One of the players, one of the senior players for, I believe it was Duke. I'm not sure which game it was now, but he was accused of walking away. Was it North Carolina or Duke?
Well, it was Duke played NC State, I think, on Saturday. Is that the game? I think game we're talking about. It says here due to a controversy of the Duke game on Saturday.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, he walked away from a player and. Apparently, they thought he was showing him up. Look, there's a quality to Valentine's officiating that people have a problem with. Yeah. He's a showboat, okay? Yeah.
But he's good.
But he's really a good showboat. And there's nobody that you would rather have, that I would rather have, call a game, where I particularly on a foreign court, where I think I'm going to get a fair shake. Mm-hmm. I'll take him every time.
Yeah. No, he does it with a lot of flair.
Yeah.
But he does.
He doesn't need to do that because it turns some people off. But I if you just get down to his calls, he makes pretty good. Now, he will make a call once in a while out of the blue that you don't quite understand. But I think he's a good official, and everybody wants him.
We'll take a break here. We're at 9:52. I'm Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We're on Monday Morning Quarterbacking. Lots to talk about. Who's going to win the college football championship tonight? Do you care about that? All SEC? I just want Georgia to win. Somebody other than Alabama, please. So we'll talk about that some more. The NFL playoffs, obviously heading down the stretch there. We've got Illini basketball, Illini women's basketball, two big wrestling wins. The Olympic sports are going to be cranking up here as we hit the middle of January coming up this weekend. And there's just a lot more to talk about. All that straight ahead. Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday Morning Quarterbacks. Give us a call, text, or email next. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday Morning Quarterbacking here at 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. We're talking a lot of different things today. NFL playoffs, Illini basketball, men's and women's, wrestling had a couple of close wins over the weekend against Nebraska and Northwestern. We talked to Dana Howard for a few minutes, going to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. So the former Illini linebacker, Butkus Award winner, great to visit with him. We're at 9:57 and holding steady at 34 degrees. All right, the story on Ted Valentine, you were right, he was involved in the North Carolina game is where he turned his back on North Carolina guard Joel Berry. He was removed and did not do the NC State Duke game. He was supposed to do that game.
Okay.
So we're both kind of in the ballpark there. But Valentine said he had also been removed from two Big Ten games and then elected not to officiate Saturday's Georgia Tech-Yale contest because of the intense reaction.
Really?
To what he did, yeah.
My goodness.
According to that story. Valentine told The Athletic in the situation with Barry of North Carolina when the guard tried to discuss a non-call, Barry said he felt he had been fouled by Florida State's Terrence Mann, but the veteran ref would not engage with the UNC guard. Valentine said he turned his back to de-escalate the situation, a technique he said he's learned in conflict resolution classes. But the NCAA and North Carolina referred any comment to the ACC, and the communications director said the issue is being addressed internally. So, kind of a strange story. Valentine has worked, just to what Lauren was talking about, he's worked 28 NCAA tournaments, 10 Final Fours, and 4 national championship games, and worked the game last year with Oregon in the semifinals. Oregon, North Carolina. So, anyway, kind of strange. He's contemplating retirement anyway.
That sounds like maybe a little bit of an overreaction by everybody,
yeah.
But...
We're at 9:59, headed for the news at 10 o'clock. If you have any more comments or questions, your thoughts on this Illinois basketball team. Going to be interesting to see the ratings for the college football game tonight, the regional matchup. Not only is it two teams from the SEC, but it's being played in Atlanta.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's really, really localized.
It's going to be a hotbed there, but I wonder what it'll be in New York City and Los Angeles. That's mm-hmm. the question.
Different places like that. All right, we'll talk a little more about what Shad Khan did in the second hour to help out some folks with the tickets to the Jacksonville playoff game. But right now we need a break for the news on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. It is 10 o'clock. Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts. Monday morning quarterbacking. We are at 10:12 with you till 11 today. If you have some comments, some thoughts, feel free to give us those on a Monday morning quarterback show. Lauren Tate is here as usual. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. All right, Lauren has some numbers for us on Illinois basketball.
Well, let's go. Bob wanted to know about free throws, so I guess I can tell you that Illinois is fourth in the league, shooting 739 on mm-hmm. free throws. The leader is Northwestern at 765, and then Purdue and Maryland are ahead of Illinois, and then... as I said, Illinois is fourth, which isn't bad. I mean, they're making their fair share of free throws. Nobody's going to make. I mean, if you shoot 80%, you're really red hot.
You'll lead the country.
Yeah, and no team is doing that. And Illinois is at a solid 739. Did you have some numbers on free throws?
I did. Yeah, but go ahead and give the steals numbers.
Now Illinois has averaging 8 steals per game, which is second in the league, but they're number one in the conference. In turnover gained, 14.8. That's 15 turnovers a game. That's pretty good if you can mm-hmm. sustain that. And that tells you a lot about what this Illinois basketball team is about. They're not great shooters from the three, 32% way down at the bottom, toward the bottom in three-point shooting. That's bad. Nothing you can do about it. You just shoot them, and if they don't go in, what are you going to do? But they have forced defensively more mistakes by the opposing teams, 12 in the first half against Michigan. That's really pretty good. I mean, that's outstanding.
Right, because they're top 5 in the country in fewest turnovers.
Yeah. So,
Michigan is.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the kind of team this is under Underwood. It's a better defensive team, and they go to the boards better than any Illinois team. And I think, without looking up historically the statistics, I don't think we've had a team go to the offensive board like that. They had 19 rebounds the other day against
Minnesota. Offensive board against a really good rebounding team.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. I thought, how do we get that many? And so Illinois is going to the boards and creating turnovers, but they also gave up some layups and against Michigan that really, really hurt because, you know, that's 100% shots that Wagner is shooting when he goes in there. So anyway, that tells you about the team. They're not shooting threes. They do shoot free throws pretty well. They don't shoot the jumper very well, but they play good defense and get a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, Iowa will come in Thursday night. The Hawkeyes are 0-5. They got beat by Maryland. So your leaders in the Big Ten right now are Purdue and Ohio State, which beat Michigan State yesterday.
When Ohio State changed coaches, I thought they were headed for the bottom four in the league. I didn't know Bates Diop was going to come back like this. I knew he was a good player, but he missed most of last season with an injury. And Tate's a really good, solid player, but they picked up a freshman, Wesson. They've got a couple other guys, Jackson. They just seem to be it's falling all together. Now, will this continue? I don't know, but what I saw against Michigan State yesterday was astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Just astounding.
Yeah, that little run right at the end of the half was a huge momentum swing.
Yes, it was, and then they continued it. Mm-hmm. That's what when I looked up and saw that spread was over 20 points, I thought, this is Michigan State. This is the number one team in the country. And they look so good. They look so good against Maryland. I mean, I just thought they were I thought, is there a chance they could go undefeated? No.
Not going to happen now.
No, sir.
Maybe Villanova might be the new number one.
Well, that's going to be very interesting because mm-hmm. everybody lost.
Yeah.
There
was about a list of 8 or 10 teams that lost.
Yeah, I think it was 10. I think it was
mm-hmm.
10.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Bob was asking earlier. You can give us a call here, by the way, 356-9397. You can text us, 351-5357, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. You're going to watch the college football championship game, even remotely interested. Go Dogs is my sentiment there, but it's Georgia and Alabama, both from the SEC. Bob was asking about free throws and how many we've missed in some of the losses. And, of course, Illinois, I think through the first 5 losses, lost by a total of 24 points or something like that. But in the loss at Wake Forest, Illinois only missed 1 free throw, 13 out of 14. Wake Forest shot 31 free throws. They missed 4. They missed 7, but they shot, 17 more. And Illinois made 12 threes to Wake Forest's 8, but lost by 7. So those are some interesting numbers there. The Northwestern game, of course, was overtime. Illinois went 21 of 26 from the foul line.
They made just one more.
Just one more.
They in regulation.
Yeah, well, they missed 5, but they also went 3 of 18 from 3.
Yeah.
All right. And
Illinois has had some really bad games from the three-point, with the exception of Jordan, who had a good run the first 10 games or more. But the team, I think he's a better shooter than that. I mean, I don't understand why they're not shooting better from the 3.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, because if he's not hitting them, and Allstork's not making them, and your guards aren't making them, and Jordan's not making them, you're not making threes. I mean,
you know who shot them about as well as anybody? Black lately.
Yeah, his percentage is among the best.
He doesn't shoot many, but he's more accurate. But I just, when I watch Allstork's shot, I do not have confidence that he is going to be a good three-point shooter. That shot is not a good shot. It's the way he releases it that I don't like. It has very little spin on it. So, and I know if it hits the perfect, if it hits between the in the rim, it'll go in. But if it's not perfect, he's not going to get any leaners.
Yeah, he did well in the first 2 Big Ten games. He averaged 15 a game in those 2 games. Points we're talking, but has not done a lot statistically around any of the other games as far as that goes. The Maryland game, Illinois, of course, lost by 1. Illinois missed 5 free throws. Maryland missed 4, and both teams made 8 threes. But that was a 1-point game. And then the other one was, let's see, your UNLV. This is the really wild one. UNLV, Illinois made 11 threes to UNLV's 4, okay? But Illinois missed only 4 free throws, but they only shot 15, and UNLV shot 48.
I guess if you look on the road, you'll see that we don't shoot as many free throws as the other team in most cases, right?
That's right.
It's usually very hard to get to the line when you're on the road.
And UNLV shot 33 of 48, so they missed 15. But still won the game by 7. So those are some interesting stats on free throws. So anyway, Bob, I hope that answers some of your questions. All right, text from Bill says, I noticed with Finkian, nobody's within 15 feet of the basket on offense. I think Ebo is outperforming in rebounding, scoring, and blocking shots. If Finkian isn't making his outside shots, he brings little to the table. That's from Bill.
Well, you can see in practice and watching a lot of practices earlier, there is no question who the best rebounder on this basketball team is, and I'm not going to try the name. It's Greg.
Yeah,
Greg
Boykbedin,
O.
Yeah.
Greg O. And he just has a knack for getting the ball off the rim. Mm-hmm. The problem has been that he offensively hasn't been able to do much. And in these games that he's scoring, he's getting layups. I mean, and that's great.
He's just diving to the basket.
Yeah,
and they're finding him.
I don't know. I think he's a year away from being what they really need totally. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a future for him. I thought all along. I saw one practice out there where I felt, boy, this guy can really be good. Can be at some point when he gets more control, more confidence, and able to handle the ball a little better. Now, when I say handle, he's okay at getting rebounds, and his hands are good in that respect. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have any offensive moves.
And his feet are good on inbounds plays because he kicked a couple out of bounds.
And do you notice how quickly he on defense where he will hedge and get back? I mean, he's quick. He's like Egwu that way.
Mm-hmm. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. Monday morning quarterbacks today. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. Text in, says, how many Big Ten wins for this year?
Oops.
In Illinois basketball. So look at
Once
your schedule.
They get past this difficult thing and start playing a lot of home games against some other teams, I think they've got a shot to win some games, but I wouldn't touch it. I'd say 4 or 5 would be a pretty good season.
Yeah, when you start 5 of 7 on the road, and you had 1 on the road, you had a real shot to win. You basically did everything but win the game, Northwestern.
Yeah.
And the Maryland game is the one that still bothers me. I mean, you had that game won.
Just get the ball in bounds.
Well, that and the alley-oop when you're up, with 38 seconds left.
Oh, that was a bad choice.
That was the one I know Brad Underwood talked about after the game. He just shook his head and said, that one I can't explain. And the trying to make an alley-oop play with the lead and the ball. All right, let's see here. We have Bill on the line with us today. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Penny. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm looking at the schedule and noticed what I think is an aberration. Illinois' first 4 games on the road, all losses, were to teams they only play once this year.
Yeah, those first 4 games, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Away, and what could be worse for a team just learning a new system than to play 4 games on the road?
Well, it's unfortunate, but we hope that later on it'll, balance out. Obviously, it will. They were going to wind up playing 9 games at home.
No, three of the first four were on the road.
Yeah, the Maryland game was home.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Second thing I want to bring up, did either one of you see the Nebraska-Purdue game on Saturday?
I saw a little bit at the beginning.
There was a play where one of the Nebraska players dunked over Haas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And they turned and ran up the court side by side, and the player that dunked turned his head and just looked at Haas.
And got a technical, didn't he?
And got a technical foul.
I saw that. I don't know why he called that.
Neither did the announcers. They couldn't understand why.
Didn't look like he said anything.
Just stared at him, huh?
Well, he just looked at him. He didn't even – it wasn't even that long.
No.
Hmm.
Well, so you got have better luck against Iowa. So maybe we will too.
Hopefully so. You going to watch the championship game tonight?
I think I probably will.
Yeah? At least for a half, huh?
And it's a case of I don't know who I want to win.
Well, I'm tired of Alabama, so let's get somebody else.
That sounds like a good idea, too.
All right.
Have a good
one. Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone. Busey, financial stress is a common thread across generations. Finance is the top cause of stress for 38% of baby boomers, 46% of Generation X, 51% of millennials. Where does Lauren fit in those? I don't know. Any of those? And according to PricewaterhouseCoopers, baby boomers, those born from 46 to 64, concerned about retirement and health care. Generation Xers, born from the mid-60s to the early 80s, worried about running out of money now and in retirement. Millennials, born between the mid-80s and early 2000s, more concerned about meeting current expenses. My daughter's in that range. The experts at Busey encourage all generations to get back to the financial basics and budget. Go to the Resource Center on Busey.com. With your financial concerns in mind, Busey will help you develop health money management habits and improve your finances. Visit any of Busey's convenient locations today or contact them at 1-800-67-BUSEY. That's the way to reach to Busey, one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. 1024, back with more. Got news headlines at the bottom of the hour. We talked to Dana Howard in the first hour. He's going to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Great to hear from former Illini great linebacker. Your thoughts on the Illinois basketball team, the NFL playoffs. You're going to watch the championship game tonight. We'll do all that next as we continue on Monday Morning Quarterbacks.
Are you a baby boomer raising your own kids and now find yourself spending more and more time caring for your parents? They call us the sandwich generation. We're raising our kids, sending them off to college or into the workforce, and just when we thought we could catch a breather, the economy tanks, and now our aging parents need our help too. Hi, this is Thorpe Facer, founder of the Facer Law Office, with a message of hope for stressed out baby boomers caring for their aging parents. My firm has helped hundreds of Central Illinois families on their elder care journey, dealing with out-of-control nursing home costs, parents with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, government benefits struggling to make sure their life savings don't get eaten up by the cost of long-term care. If you're a boomer facing these issues, your family needs to get smart about this now before it turns into a full-blown crisis. We can help you and your parents navigate these treacherous waters. We do it every day. For your free consultation, call 217-337-1111. That's 337-1111.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-733-0145. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-733-0145. That's 1-800-733-0145. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-733-0145.
I went online to find just the right washer and dryer. First, I needed a huge capacity. Then, I wanted a super long service protection plan and a company that would really stand behind their product. Thirdly, I had to have a reversible door on the washing machine. And I really liked that titanium color. Once I knew what I wanted, I looked for the best deal. All these things came together at one place. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, and they were on sale for $300 off. Plus, I got that great Dick Van Dyke 10-year protection plan, and it was free. Boy, do I love my new Electrolux laundry set. Wow.
I'm Dennis Reagan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Champaign-Urbana during January. I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal on any appliance. Wow.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Join us for the next Bohannon Show with former Congressman Jason Altmaier, who has written Dead Center, How Political Polarization Divided America and What We Can Do About It.
Tonight at 9 on DWS.
We're back, Penny, for your thoughts. Monday Morning Quarterbacking, having some fun today. We heard from Dana Howard in the first hour. By the way, we're at 10:28. We mentioned Dana Howard in the Hall of Fame, former Michigan cornerback, punt returner, and receiver Charles Woodson among the 2018 inductees.
Absolutely.
Into the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, he could do it all.
Yeah, he was one of the few players that just did so many different things right and did them all well. He was great.
And Shad Khan, for his playoff game, donated, what, some tickets? I think it's travel
about that
for
more.
People.
I read about it. What?
From what I understand, it was victims of the hurricane.
Right.
And he paid for their travel, I think, and got them tickets to the game, the playoff game. And also there was a young man, there's a big story out today about a young man from Iraq who helped the U.S. military in Iraq deal with the local population, kind of worked with the Army, and Shad was able to get him to the game, too. So.
You know, he ought to hire me as a full-time guy just to determine where he should give his money, because he's got $7 billion out there. I mean, you know, it's got to be from year to year, you got to figure out the right places to philanthropically help people. And you know what? He does.
He does.
He's given a lot of money to the University of Illinois, just not to sports, but to the university itself.
Well, the whole complex over there, the tennis complex, among other things. But,
He's terrific. And you know, we're not close enough to him. We should hear more from him. We should try to interview him. I mean, he's right here in town.
Yeah. Yep, you know, when he's in town.
It's almost like, when he's in town. It's almost like he's you know, we don't even talk to him much.
Yeah, I think he'll be in, where he'll be next week. Pittsburgh is where he'll be next week.
You bet.
So Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
That'll be a tough one. I'm afraid that Pittsburgh will be a little too tough for him.
Let's go to Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm coming off of about 5 days in Wisconsin watching some skating.
Oh, yeah?
With the local connect being Bonnie Blair's daughter, who happens to be ironically named Blair Cruikshank.
Yep.
So that was her first trials. And then we had Garriott, the guy that I've been working with, and then my late coach was working with until he passed in October suddenly. And so he, Theron Sams did his stuff. He, of course, he didn't make the team, but he's definitely one of the stories of the trials, and tried doing what he did at 53 years old.
Isn't that amazing? I was trying to wonder how he could do that.
He's got impeccable personal habits, first of all. No nasty habits. He lost a lot of weight. He works hard. He's just it's the only thing he cares about other than making his daily bread, you know, when he has to work. He's as impassioned about the sport as anybody I've ever met.
I was reading about some controversy, Eric, when it comes to the figure skating, picking the figure skating teams. I guess there's been some controversy
it's
with that.
It's always that way, Brian.
Yeah?
It's always that way.
That's normal, huh?
Well, you got Ashley Wagner there. You know, she's kind of entrenched and 3 or 4-time national champion and the Olympics, and just it wasn't her day. And so, you know, every day there's another 18-year-old now, and you're for your heels. So the body, you're like 25, but start getting to 30. And the youth crew comes through.
Yeah, because in some cases, you'd have in the actual trials somebody that finished in second or third, and then they take whoever they want anyway, right? Is that what I was reading?
That, man, I'd be in prison for that. If somebody did that to me, I would not take that very kindly.
Yeah.
You know, if you run the spot, you got to go. That's what's called subjectively adjudicated sports.
Right.
You know.
Well, it's
when you get that, then you got problems.
I guess it's different, you know, in speed skating or in swimming or whatever. You got to. There's a time. Everybody sees the time, and you either get the time or you don't.
Judgment's harder.
There's been ways of manipulating things there too, and I won't go into any diatribes about that. But it was good to be up there. Saw there were a lot of old timers up there just yucking it up. It was a few days.
Well, thanks for the report, Eric.
And I'm going to sit out the ball game tonight, just in case you wondered.
Oh, you're not going to watch?
Can't get next to. I just, I know horse in the race. You know, it's go Netflix. All right, we'll see you later.
Go Netflix. Okay.
Go Netflix. There you go. I like that. That's good, Eric.
Okay.
Hey, that's the line of the day. Thanks. All right, 10:33, and we've got Michael Kaiser up next. News headlines here on DWS.
Thanks, Brian. 34 degrees at the Radio Center, headed for a high of 36 today, been around 34, 35 throughout the morning so far. It's a lengthy prison sentence for a Champaign man who was charged with molesting a child in his care for several years. After pleading guilty today, Judge Roger Weber sentenced Dwayne Edwards to 40 years behind bars. He faced up to life in prison. Edwards was arrested in March of last year after police got a report of the crimes. They then searched the man's home and found evidence of sexual assaults. Edwards has been in a state database as a child sex offender since 2005. Illinois has suspended another tax credit agreement with a health technology company that's facing fraud allegations. The Chicago Tribune reports Outcome Health has received roughly $1.3 million in tax credits through a 2013 agreement signed under then-Governor Pat Quinn. The Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity spokesperson says the agreement has been suspended due to the Chicago-based company's legal troubles. The publisher of Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury is not backing down. In a letter sent to company employees today and shared with the Associated Press, Macmillan CEO John Sargent wrote that any efforts by President Donald Trump to suppress the book are flagrantly unconstitutional, end quote. Last week, a Trump lawyer sent a cease and desist letter to the publisher demanding that Fire and Fury be withheld. Holt responded by moving up the publication date from January 9th to last Friday. And the South Korean Coast Guard says thick smoke is still billowing from a burning oil tanker in the East China Sea, and bad weather is also worsening visibility. Personnel from three countries are working to find the tanker's 32 missing crew members and contain oil spewing from the blazing wreck. The Iranian tanker and freighter collide late Saturday. Greg Solier's forecast for the rest of your Monday, mostly cloudy skies, headed for a high of 36, considerable cloudiness tonight, patchy fog late, low of around 20, then headed for a high of 38 tomorrow, partly sunny skies, patchy fog early in the day, get to above 40 on Wednesday, 45, and Thursday with a high of 56. Right now, 34 degrees at 10:35.
I'm Chaz Holder from Holder Wealth Management. A successful long-term wealth plan requires more than just portfolio management. Choosing the correct investments is important, but it is just one piece of the puzzle. Many of us are concerned about whether we have sufficient savings for retirement, if our estate plans are protecting against taxation, can we afford to send our kids to college? Not to mention that just about every transaction, investment or otherwise, has some type of tax implication. The road to long-term financial success has many different turns, and most of us could use a trusted guide. At Holder Wealth Management, we have expertise in financial planning, taxation, and estate planning. We are more than simply portfolio managers. Help our clients navigate all of life's important decisions. Give us a call at 217-398-4015 and let us at Holder Wealth Management help you plan for long-term success.
With their new facility, Max Twin City Recycling brings recycling to a whole new level. Come see their new offices, and you'll like their new drive-through purchasing bay. Max Twin City Recycling makes it easy to recycle with a convenient drive-through and a drive-on scale. Their staff will help you with all your recycling. Recycling is a great way to conserve resources and put dollars in your pocket. Max Twin City Recycling, 2808 North Lincoln, Urbana.
Hi, it's Corey with Max Twin City Recycling. We pride ourselves on giving the area an outlet to recycle and get paid for their unwanted metals. We're taking our community focus a step further with our Recycling for a Cause program. Each month, Max Twin City will choose a different local charity to feature in an effort to raise money for those causes. Visit maxrecycling.com for a complete list of program details.
It's high school basketball tomorrow night at 7:30. The High School of St. Thomas More hosts Rochester. Michael Kaiser and Tim Dittman with the call right here on Newstalk 1400 and WDWS.com.
Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts on a Monday, and that means Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm Brian Barnhart in one chair. Lauren Tate is in the other. You can join us on the phones, 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 3515357 on Penny tomorrow. We'll have an hour of open line at 9 o'clock on the money. We'll be in the second hour. And then coming up on Wednesday, Tom Bruno is going to join us. He'll join us on Wednesday morning. Michael LeRoy will join us on Friday. We've got some singers coming in, a performance coming in with a musical and a play here coming up on Thursday. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But open line in and around all of that on Penny for Your Thoughts this week. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. By the way, some 3,000 Cleveland Browns fans turned out in frigid temperatures Saturday to hold a parade around First Energy Stadium in protest of the Browns' 0-16 season. Many fans taking part in what was dubbed the Perfect Season Parade held held signs blasting the in the team's front office. Others had bags over their heads. The marchers weren't just protesting this year, but years of misery, including, get this, in the NFL, 1-31 over the last 2 years. Nine of the last 10 years.
Well, they've had some good draft picks this year.
They have. Well, they've had some bad, some good, they've had bad number choices, one picks, but bad choices.
Yeah.
They've finished last in the AFC North 9 of the last 10 years, have the longest playoff drought in the NFL at 15 years.
Well, thanks for the Cavaliers, because they've saved Cleveland from ignominy. So the baseball team's good, too.
Yeah, the baseball team's been very good.
Both of them. I mean, the basketball and baseball, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm going to switch. I'm going to switch with me.
Yep.
How many teams in the Big Ten, this is the first question, are going to make the NCAA tournament? That's the first. And the second question is, has Ohio State replaced Minnesota as the fourth team?
Well, what I saw was Lunardi had four in, right, at last check.
But he had Minnesota in.
Yeah.
Now, Minnesota just lost to Indiana, and they've lost two key players. Lynch is a key player.
Oh, yeah.
Coffey's a key player. Those are, I mean, did you look at that box score? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, instead of having five good solid starters, they got three good solid starters. They didn't have any bench to begin with.
Right. That was
and they'd already lost Curry, another big guy. So they've lost three of their top, well, I guess they've lost, yeah, three of their four top big men are gone. Mm. So it looks to me like Ohio State, I was going to tell you, Ohio State has lost only two, Gonzaga, Butler, Clemson, and North Carolina. Those aren't bad losses.
Not at all.
And they've won all the rest of their games. And they just beat Michigan State to death. I think that moves them up, don't you?
I think it does. Right now, as of today.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
If the tournament started today.
Yeah, it changes. I mean, how many more times will it change between now and, you know.
How many times has it changed in the last week of the, you know, with all the tournaments?
Absolutely.
It's a slippery slope.
But the Big Ten is down in terms of, I'd say about at least half the teams, and I wrote this.
That was kind of the gist of your column.
Yeah, half the teams are out of it already. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say. Now, can you put together an eight-game winning streak and change everything? Sure, anybody could do that. Illinois could do that. Anybody could do that. But right now, about half the league is dead.
Mm-hmm. And when you look, and that hurts you as time goes on because you're playing teams that aren't considered – in
good
the power
point.
Rankings.
Good point.
And you don't gain any ground
there's
for
only,
the league.
There's only two teams in the league now that are in the top 40 RPI-wise. How much stock do you put in the RPI?
Oh, I don't know. I just find it interesting. I don't pay a lot of attention to it.
But if you get beyond 40, the chances of making the tournament are really decreased because you only you got to remember there are 32 teams that go in based on the conference automatic.
Right.
So that's a lot of teams that wouldn't be in the tournament but are in because they're in a small league and they win the league. Yeah. So it isn't a 68-team tournament in that sense. And right now, some other leagues, SEC is a lot better than we thought. Mm-hmm. Big 12 is deep.
You got Wichita State in the American now.
Yeah, well, they're going to dominate that league too, looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Missouri Valley really lost a lot with – it's just not the same. To me, it's not the same.
They
league.
Have nobody. The team that wins, it's the only one getting in. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to win the tournament to get in.
All right. This text in says, why does everyone keep saying Finke's a good shooter? He can't get his shot, and he continues to miss when he does shoot.
Finke is a good shooter, not shooting well. That's what I see. I mean, I've watched the guy since he was a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. I've seen him play about 7 years. He's a good shooter. He's got good touch, but he's not shooting well, and he's missing free throws that I can't explain to you. Now, obviously, if you take his percentages right now, he's not a good shooter, but I've seen enough to know he can shoot. He could always shoot.
Mm-hmm. And the coaches want him to shoot.
And I think it's a problem getting a shot. That's a whole different question. Mm-hmm. Getting a shot is a whole different question from being a good shooter. For instance, Jordan is a good shooter, but when you have as much problem as he does getting a shot, it puts more pressure on you.
Mm-hmm. All right, that text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. We're here on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking. We'll take another break here. We'll come back with more of our thoughts today on this Penny for Your Thoughts show. Monday morning quarterbacks continues after this. Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts rolling on here on this Monday. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We have a busy week ahead, of course, on Penny for Your Thoughts. On Mondays, it's the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. 356-9397 on the phone lines here with us is Danny. Danny, how are you?
I'm doing well, and hope you and Lauren are, and Happy New Year. And I have a question for Lauren.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me your take on the NL Central and how the Cardinals, Cubs, and Milwaukee either upgraded or downgraded. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Thanks, Danny.
Well, I don't think we're done yet. I mean, I think that, you know, there's still – Arrieta's still up in the air. Is he going to be back with the Cubs? Is the Cardinals going to get him? I mean, are the Cubs going to land another – I put an awful lot of emphasis on the starting rotation in the bullpen. I think pitching wins championships. And right now, I don't know for sure that the Cardinals are – I mean – I'm a little concerned about the status of Wainwright. I don't know if he's the right guy. I don't know what's happening with Lynn. I guess he's gone, but where'd he go? He hadn't gone anywhere yet. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the Cardinals keep Lynn, but I don't think they can.
Martinez.
Well, Martinez will be fine.
Yeah,
he's outstanding, I think. I mean, he's a little wacky at times, but he's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. And I think Weaver's going to be okay, and I think Reyes will bounce back within a month and be a starter. I mean, he may start in the bullpen, but I think he'll ultimately be a starter. But I think the Cubs have a clearly better team the other eight positions. They've got more good players than the Cardinals do, but the Cardinals have helped themselves in the outfield. Right now, they're negotiating maybe for a third baseman, which would change things and put Carpenter on first permanently, which is probably where he belongs since defensively he's a liability.
All the Machado talk is stopped, and of course Stanton went to the Yankees.
I think the Cubs are a better team, but you can overcome the Cubs if you have better pitching.
I was going to say, have they upgraded their starting pitching enough?
Cubs? Yeah. No, they haven't
yet.
To win
a World Series.
No, but Darvish is still out there, isn't he? And Arrieta's still out there, and Lynn's still out. I mean, they're still got a – I mean, I'm not able to tell you all the guys that are available, but some of the agents have sought to get too many years for their pitchers, and therefore we are nearing this February is the start of pitchers and catchers reporting, Brian.
Yeah,
you ought to get excited about
it. Yes, yeah, well.
Get you excited about that. But, you know, we've got a month to go here, and there's going to be some things happen, aren't there? They're happening.
Oh, I would think
so. I mean, these guys are going to play. They're
going
to play for somebody. But if you want 7 years, maybe you settle for four.
Well, and Arrieta, you got to remember, he was kind of a reclamation project. I mean, the Orioles, he was with the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay. And then the Cubs got him, and he had two really top-notch seasons.
If you give him – here's the problem, as I see it. When you've got a guy who throws against his body the way he does, it's extremely hard on the arm, and yet he is a physical phenomenon, and he has held up marvelously well, and he's still a very good pitcher. But do you run the risk if you give him 4 years, for example, which is maybe where it's headed, what are you going to get out of him in the last 2 years?
Right, and how much are you willing to pay for that?
And he lost a couple miles an hour on his fastball last year, I think. You know,
it wasn't quite the same. It
wasn't quite the same, but he's still a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. But I just don't. I don't know. Would you rather go with young guys? You know, if you're the Cardinals, would you rather stay young with your pitching?
I would think so.
One thing they're doing, they're protecting their pitching. They let Sierra get away. He's a fast outfielder. He can run, steal bases, and all that. They've let some people get away, but they've hung on to their young, strong arms, and that's where you win championships.
That's
I
where
think.
You do it. And they had to kind of remake their roster a little bit because they had a lot of the same type players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, playing guys that could play different positions, but there was no set. Okay, here's your shortstop, and here's your third baseman, and
half,
here's your
half the players on in their lineup spent half the season in the minors.
Yeah, well, that's true. It was the Memphis Redbirds.
But Young's going to be here next week. But is that this week? When's the Cardinal
it's coming up? Yeah,
the Cardinal Caravan's coming up real soon. I've got it in my book somewhere. But DeJong is going to be here.
Yeah, real quick, you had Finke's numbers. Did you have that at one point?
I was surprised.
His career shooting.
I stand corrected. I'll say first of all, he shot 41% on threes last year. Shot 90, made 37. That's really good.
Yeah.
He shot 55% on free throws. That's really bad.
Now, he's improved the free throw shooting.
How can you shoot 41% on threes and make half your free throws? Oh, come on.
Yeah, now he's
– I don't understand. I'm not seeing something here. He's not – and he's missing free throws this year when it just seems to me he should be making them this.
Yeah, now, he's done better statistically from the foul line this year. I think he's somewhere below south of 70%, which is better than he's been. And Black's been much improved at the free throw line.
Black's just a good shooter in that mid-range, and he's carried it out to the three. If he can get open, you got to remember something, Brian. Most of his shots are contested.
Oh, yeah, every one of them.
Yeah, they're right in his face. And the first time that I saw him miss badly was at Minnesota. It was at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I'm mixed up. Which game was it? I'm confused.
I don't know. They run together for me.
He got his shots blocked at Minnesota. He missed his shots at Michigan. He got his first three shots blocked at Minnesota. And that probably threw him off. But he had 14 points the second half, so that's good.
But 41 career or last year shooting three, or is that career for Finke?
No, that was last year. The previous year he shot 37.
Okay. Well, anything north of 35 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Considered three-point shooting.
Oh, yeah. Finke's a good shooter, but he's not. Sometimes I don't understand it. It looked to me like at times this year he hadn't gotten his feet under him quite as well as he should. He shot a little bit of a fade away from the arc.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. A quick question. Have you ever needed collision repairs on your vehicle? Gallo Miller, Paint and Collision Repair. Dave Miller, Bill Gallo, passionate about their business. They are in their 18th year in business repairing vehicles, 23,000 times over. They've got your vehicle back to where it should be. They know the collision repair business inside and out. In fact, Dave spent a number of years as an insurance adjuster before returning to his first love, fixing cars. And before starting Gallo Miller, Bill ran body shops at other notable businesses in the area. Collision Repair Shop, as they know and you know, is the last place you want to be. Free estimates are always offered, but they're there to help you try to make this as simple as possible. Conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana, look for their attractive building, south side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits. You can go to gallomiller.com. By the way, if you had your crossword puzzle, do you do a crossword puzzle in the News Gazette at all?
No.
My wife does.
I don't, but okay.
Well, I can tell you from yesterday, I'll give you the answer to 69 down.
Okay, 69 right. down. How many
letters? Fighting Big Ten team. Five letters. Or six letters, I'm sorry.
I-O-I-N-I?
Yeah. That's it. 69 down in your crossword puzzle.
Okay.
Check it out. We'll have some more for you. Penny, for your thoughts. Got some texts that have just rolled in. We can take a quick call if we get to time here after this at 10:54. Back on Penny for your thoughts. 10:57 here. Real quick, we need to get to a call and a couple of texts here. It says, from Dan, Lauren, would you rather have Lynn or Arietta?
Okay, I'll take Lynn.
Okay.
He's stronger, and I think it's really close. Which would you say, Brian?
I would take...
You like Arietta better?
I like Lynn better.
Arietta was better 2 years ago,
yeah.
But I think Lynn right now is at his peak, and Arietta may be on a little bit on the downside. I don't know.
And also from Irv, he says, doesn't matter who the coach at Illinois is, Illinois never plays a full game. So there you go. 10:58, let's go back to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. With regards to shooting, well, I remember watching Rick Mount, Don Freeman, Downey, all those shooters, they could just shoot the eyes out. Well, what's changed?
Well,
with is shooting being coached the same as it was years ago?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think most high school players come in with a shot, and coaches, for the most part, don't do much about it. I mean, the guys can either shoot or they can't. Underwood would disagree with what I just said. He says that he can help guys shoot, but you're picking out the superstars over a 20 or 30 year period. You know, I mean, there's still players like that. Yeah, there's a guy at Oklahoma named Young is just lights out, and he's shooting from further out than even Jimmy Rail and Freeman did. By the way, I heard Jimmy Rail weighs over 300 pounds.
Is that right?
You wouldn't
remember.
That's
a stray bit of information.
Yeah. A stray bit of information. I have a lot of that. It's a stray.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank
appreciate
you.
The call. We're inside of a minute left. Also, they say this text in says Rand Toole has a University of Georgia football connection. The team doctor is Dr. Fred Restack III, who graduated from Rand Toole Township High School in 1978.
Well, that's a Rand Toole name, Restack.
How about that? And whose dad was superintendent of RTHS when Dr. Fred was a student at RTHS Roger Quinlan.
He coached me in softball.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And the Cardinal Caravan is the 12th this Friday at Hilton Garden Inn.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay.
All right, Lauren, thank you.
All right, thank
Had
you.
Had a good show.
Brian,
appreciate
good show.
It. Thank you. And we'll wrap it up with that. I'll be back tomorrow with more Penny for Your Thoughts, an open line in the first hour on the money after that. And it's 11 o'clock on WDWS. Champaign-Urbana, the news is next at 11.